thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays, and we're broadcasting on 1-2 Radio this morning, and we're changing the way listen to the world. And of course, I was emphasizing radio because, you know, we're doing this transition over to YouTube. I'm not quite sure exactly how that's going to work. And for me personally, I don't know when. But, you know, if you're saying, hey, are we on, you know, YouTube or are we on 1-2 Radio? Right now, we're on both. You know, that's the way it works out. Some hosts are only on 1-2 Radio. Some are only on YouTube. But we're trying to figure this whole thing out, you know, moving into a whole different digital age, I guess. And as we move, this is June 17th, 2025. And on today's show, here's the agenda. We will be looking at the week ahead, which includes Mars moving into Virgo. That happened early this morning. And here again, if you're listening to this, you know, through the archives of 1-2 Radio, it's June 17th. That's when Mars moves to Virgo, and it did it early this morning. So, you know, that's already happened. We'll talk about it towards the end of the show. Time permitting. We are also going to kind of check in with the summer solstice, which is Friday, June 20th, because astrologically speaking, that's when the sun enters Cancer. And so that's the beginning of a new season, summer, but it's also the beginning of a new astrological quarter with the sun moving into a cardinal sign, Cancer. We're also, I know I keep promising that we're going to do this deep dive on Jupiter. And the reason is because Jupiter, of course, moved into Cancer on the 9th of June. But, you know, I just keep looking at my astrological calendar, and each week I go, oh, nope, we got to talk about this. We really should check in with this. And I just want to devote, you know, a big chunk of time to Jupiter. Probably that may even go over 2 or 3 shows, because I truly do want to get into even things like, how's it going to be for people of a certain sign? How's it going to be if you have Jupiter in your 4th house or your 7th house, etc.? I want to get into some of those details because I think it'll be fun for all of us to kind of imagine that and look at it, because after all, Jupiter's a planet of luck. So how do we bring luck into our lives, depending on the sign that Jupiter's in? And for us personally, depending on the house that it's activating in our charts. So I know that's going to be a fun thing, but we're not going to do that deep dive today, even though we'll touch base with Jupiter in Cancer. But one of the things I wanted to do, and hopefully this won't be real long, this is almost more like a class on 1-2 Academy, I want to do what I call a primer on the cardinal signs. And you'll understand that as we start getting into it, why I want to bring that up today. And just as a teaser, I'm going to say it. I want to do a heads up for Virgo. If you've got sun, moon, rising sign, or lots of planets or a lot of energy in Virgo, or Libra, or Scorpio, or Capricorn, I don't want you kind of sitting there going, you know, she keeps talking about Saturn and Neptune and Aries, and now we've got, you know, this is in Cancer, and that's not me. I'm just going to check out for a while. You know, maybe whatever's going on in the cosmos doesn't have anything to do with me. Not true. So I kind of wanted to give all of you a heads up. And there again, just to say, you know, watch and pay attention, because maybe you're feeling some things and go, wow, I thought she said this Aries energy was going to be so inspiring and so whatever. Well, there's a reason that Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn in particular feel that movement of Saturn and Neptune into those cardinal signs, and now Jupiter. But there's a reason some of those other signs do too, like Virgo and Scorpio. So we're going to, you know, and of course, it's a whole collection of energy. When we look at an astrology chart, we're never just looking at one particular thing. But I know for a lot of people, they're just like, wow, I thought this was going to be such great energy, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling this, that, or the other thing. Well, check it out. Maybe it is something else going on in your chart. So I think the big overall message here is, no matter where your planets are, don't ever check out and say whatever's going on in the cosmos right now, where those planets are transiting, doesn't affect me, because of course it has an influence. Once again, these planets, they don't make us do anything. They're just reflections of consciousness. And we get to determine, we get to interpret and, you know, make our own perceptions for what does that really mean. So I'm going to kind of give you, you know, tease that out a little bit today. And then, like I said, you know, we'll get into the Mars thing too, as much as we can. But speaking of that, I always like to remind you that I write an article for Mark's Power Peak. That's an online newsletter. It goes out every Saturday night. And it has a number of articles that I consider spiritual, metaphysical, you know, esoteric, just intriguing, just good advice for everybody. But my particular article is always based in astrology. So if you say, okay, what did she say about Jupiter? And when did it move? And when is it coming out? You know, just go and check it. You know, I think it was Mark Twain or somebody said, don't ever, or maybe it was Einstein, I don't know, but don't ever keep something in your brain that you look up at the library. And I love that statement because it doesn't mean we shouldn't remember anything, but truthfully, we can go look up everything. So if you say, oh, I don't know what she said about Jupiter's transit, or I don't know what she said about this, that, or the other thing, it's very likely that if you go back to Mark's Power Peak for that week, you're going to see those dates, or you're going to see something that is going to, you know, it's just going to anchor in the information. And one more announcement, you can always join me over on Facebook in our private chat room. You can get there by going to 12radio.com and clicking on the chat button. That will redirect you automatically to our private group over on Facebook. And you know me, I do try to check it from time to time while we're on the air on Tuesday mornings, but we'll see. So if you want to join me over there, please do. And I'll be checking over there in a little bit. To say hello to everybody that's coming in, and thank you for doing that. It looks like we already do have some comments, so welcome Tara and Renee. Thank you for being here. And Leslie, hey, thanks. And if you do have some questions, you're welcome to post them there. If I can't say them on the air, you know, don't get to them or don't see them in time, I can always put an answer in Facebook later. All right, so let's get to it. So let's jump in and start talking about the summer solstice. Jupiter in Cancer as kind of a combination thought here. Now, the summer solstice with the sun moving in Cancer is the big issue, obviously. Or when I say big, I mean, you know, that's where the sun is going to be. That's why we're talking about the summer solstice. It just happens to be that Jupiter recently moved into Cancer too. So that's why we're combining those two ideas together. But, and of course, with Jupiter, it's a longer influence. Because the sun will stay there for 30 days. But Jupiter's move to Cancer is going to be for a year, a little over a year, about 13 months, I think, this time. And in fact, it'll be there through June 29th of next year, 2026. And for those of you who like to kind of look back and say, hey, this is a 12-year cycle, so I want to know, where was Jupiter the last time it was in Cancer? When was that? That was June 2013 through July of 2014. And there again, the other planets weren't in the same location. But if you are really wanting to get a little bit more concrete or a little, you know, take a deeper dive for yourself, then you may even want to look at, you know, from June to July 2013 to 2014, what was going on for you. And in the context, in the next few weeks, as we look at Jupiter in Cancer, maybe someone will come to you and you go, hey, I remember that, or that's how this worked out. And also just here another little teaser. You may have heard it from me before, but the idea that one astrologer that I've read that I particularly like says that with Jupiter in any particular sign, what happens when it's in a sign, you know, we get all these big ideas. We want to expand everything, but oftentimes we're not quite ready for that in our life. So if you look backwards, you can look back and say, what was going on 12 years ago that was getting me all excited or that I really wanted to do, or this was something I really wanted to accomplish? Because if you haven't done it yet, this may be the year to do it. You weren't ready 12 years ago, but now you are. So that's another way to look at Jupiter in its 12-year cycles. So, quickie overview. When you think of Jupiter, and here again, for each of the signs and the planets, if you kind of little hook. You know, you have a definition or something, you go, oh yeah, that's the planet of, or that's what this means. You don't have to know every definition, but for Jupiter, we call it the planet of expansion and growth. And traditionally, historically, this is the one that's always been considered beneficial, lucky, and good fortune. But of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So defining luck and success and good fortune can really vary from one person to the next and in our own lives from time to time. The shadow of when you push all that luck and abundance and expansion, what do you get? You get excess. That's the shadow of Jupiter. So literally, like, I think to myself, Jupiter expands and increases everything it touches. So what is it that I want to increase? Because just because Jupiter's someplace and you get more and more and more, it doesn't mean it's more of something you want. You still have to be discerning and discriminating. So that's something to think about too. You know, it's kind of the old thinking about, you get more of whatever you think about. Well, Jupiter kind of does the same thing. So nothing to be afraid of, but just remember, any of the signs, everything in life has a shadow side, right? It has its strengths, it has its weaknesses, but it certainly has what happens when you push something to the max. It kind of flips over to the other side. You know, it's a natural process. So excess is the shadow of Jupiter. So when we look at Jupiter, we think about the fact that it represents, how do we find more meaning in our lives? Not just more abundance, but more meaning. How do we define that? How do we define success? So how do we use this at this particular time? Well, here again, it's more of a teaser, but I'd say, think about the fact that Jupiter rules the sign of Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the wounded healer. Sagittarius is the storyteller. Sagittarius is the seeker of truth. So be a seeker, not only of truth, but of experiences. That's what Sagittarius, I always think of Sagittarius always on the move, gathering experiences and interactions. Listen to and tell stories. You know, that whole just kind of hook into that kind of what I'd say a natural, you know, goes back through time, through all the ages of mankind. We love to listen to and tell stories. I mean, think about even all the chats and all the, you know, all the social media. What is that about? Talking to each other, telling stories. Now, of course, we need to be very discerning, but that's how we gather experiences. Gather, listen, tell stories, learn. Teach, travel in your mind or travel in your body. Be expectant and open and foster hope and optimism and positive attitudes. That is Jupiter. That's how Jupiter expands and grows and increases. So then add to that the style of Cancer. Cancer is a water sign, a cardinal water sign. The cardinal signs are pushy. They are the signs that begin a season. They are the signs that initiate action. And Cancer does it through water, through emotion. So if we look at Cancer, the archetypes. So here again, we're in the season of Cancer. We've got the sun in Cancer, but we've got that bonus situation of Jupiter. So the archetypes for Cancer are the crab. And this one is so enlightening, really, when you think about crabs. And here again, you know, I'm kind of going with a loose idea here. You know, you could look it up and come up with some another analogies for yourself. But the crab has a hard shell and a soft underbelly. And it moves fastest from side to side. So if you can remember those things about Cancer and about the crab, you are ahead of the game. Because it is so important to have those strong and appropriate boundaries, that hard shell, but to remember the intuition, the sensitivity, the vulnerability, be that soft person as well. And we're not going to go into it today too much, but the other thing is Cancer moving side to side, like the crab does, they take a circuitous route to their destinations. And that's important for a variety of reasons. But one, of course, is because oftentimes they're not going to hit something head on. If they want something, they're going to find another way to get there. So you may not know exactly where a Cancer is headed. You know, what was that about? Well, maybe they're just doing that circuitous route. They're going side to side because they know that's going to be the easiest way to get there. Like, for instance, you know the old saying, I think they use it in sales, get somebody to say yes. You don't ask them a bunch of questions where they're going to say no. You get them to say yes to simple things like, is your name CA? Yes. You know, is this your birthday? Yes. You get people to say that. Well, the crabs can be excellent at kind of steering either the conversation or the situation in the way they want to go, even though you're kind of sitting there going, okay, what are we talking about? Why are they asking me these questions? So, well, like I said, I think we'll talk more about that when we talk about Jupiter. But remember that from side to side, that's actually the fastest way for a crab to move. Straight ahead is not the way they move the fastest. So, in addition to the crab, another archetype is the mother, the nurturer, the protector. Those are all things we think about with Cancer. Now, you might translate those into themes as well. So some of the Cancer themes are fertility, pregnancy, giving life, creating life, but also developing, teaching, training the young life. You know, there again, the mother energy, being the mentor, showing the young how to do it, protecting them while they're learning, providing that safe and secure space for them to launch from, that launch pad, home. So that's another theme. So the characteristics are that sensitivity, the intuition. Cancers tend to be incredibly psychic. Also very, very creative. This is emotional energy. Remember, water, they move through the heart. They move through the element of water. Maternal, nurturing. Now, they're also retentive. And by that, I mean, that's where you can kind of see sometimes they'll get stuck in the past. Or they just retain things. Maybe somebody hurts them and they'll never forget it. Almost a little bit more like their Scorpio, you know, brothers and sisters. That's also a water sign. But it's good because, in fact, sometimes when I think about Cancer, I think about scrapbookers. Now, not that every Cancer does that and that's an old-fashioned idea, but it's like, I want to protect and preserve the past. Here's the picture of the picnic we went to when I was 10. Here's this, you know, scrapbooking something, putting the photography together, saving, having a historical document. So however you want to translate that into today's terms, oftentimes I think of Cancer as the scrapbooker, you know, it's just they want to preserve it. They want to, you know, and they're the ones that you can almost go to for the stories, you know, of mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, what were the great, you know, it's ancestry.com is kind of a Cancer thing to do. So Cancer can also be self-sacrificing. Now, in my mind or in my experience, I don't think they're quite as self-sacrificing as Pisces and Virgo. And maybe that's because they are a cardinal sign. They're initiators, but they definitely can be. And that's where we see the kind of like, oh no, don't mind me. You guys go have a good time. Don't think about me home all alone. You know, that kind of thing. So Cancer is domestic. They can be very protective. When pushed too far though, that's where I'd say they're defensive. Defensive is totally different than having just boundaries. Now here's a word too that I think of with Cancer. And this is an old word. I mean, I don't remember the last time I heard it, but they tend to be clannish. And by that, I think that's an important issue, especially in today's world, because it has to do with exclusivity. They have strong ideas and boundaries about who belongs and who doesn't. And here again, every sign has its strengths, its bright spots, but it also has its shadows. Very much, by the way, reflecting our human mind. I mean, that's what we do, right? We're very multifaceted. So Cancer strengths are that sensitivity, that ability to take care of, to create life and take care of it. The nurturing of the mother, having that deep sense of honoring, maintaining, and protecting home and family. And I promise you, as you go through the next month with the Sun in Cancer, and then, of course, we'll see Mercury and Venus, et cetera, you know, moving through there as well. And certainly this year with Jupiter in Cancer, you're going to feel and hear that emphasis on concepts that include home, family, fertility, creating and growing a family, working. And by the way, for a number of us, those who really want to, it's working with mother or family relationships and issues. There again, you know, I sometimes think, who doesn't have an issue related to either a family member or a parent or something? You know, it kind of goes with the territory. So there again, when there's a strong emphasis on Cancer, it's a good time to look at those, you know, and there again, maybe that's all you do. Maybe you just look at them. You don't do anything about them. You don't change them. You don't judge them. You just look at it for what it is. You'll hear things about safety and security. So when you think about those strengths on the flip side of Cancer, then the negatives are really the same ideas. It's when you push it to the max. So I think where it flips over for Cancer is when they get so, you know, this is my family, my tribe, my clan, my group, my whatever, and then excluding everyone and everything that's different. Those people think differently. They look different. They eat and dress differently. They have different values or customs. So that's one of the negatives, or that's one of the shadows that we have to get, you know, we have to think about getting stuck in the past. You know, this is how we've done it. We've always done it this way. Grandma did it this way. Great grandmother, you know, that whole thing. And it's so important to create a balance between that hard shell and, you know, creating those boundaries that we so desperately need and that soft, you know, just being accessible with that sweet, vulnerable center that is psychic and intuitive and sensitive and loving and just so incredibly protective. And for me, I think this is a time when it couldn't be any more important to challenge our ideas of family and to challenge ourselves to redefine those concepts and be more inclusive instead of seeing the world as me and other. And I want to talk about that. And here again, you're going to hear these. I mean, these are not new issues, but they're issues often that come up in cycles of Cancer. Or, you know, in fact, you know, the United States is a Cancer country, sun sign Cancer. So I wanted to bring that up as well, that whole umbrella of what we would call, when you push this idea of tribe or family, you know, country, here's my team, whatever, patriotism. And the idea that it's, you know, once again, step back and just watch. One person's a patriot because they take a gun and they go kill somebody. They're a patriot. Another person's a patriot because they carry a protest sign. And all these different behaviors are all considered or defined by the people doing them being patriots. Now, here again, I'm not trying to, not really, I'm not trying to stir up some, this is right and that's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I think there is this umbrella, this sense of, if my group is doing it, if the people I identify with it, you know, all we're trying to do is protect our family, protect our nation, protect our country. But without seeing that that's what other people think they're doing too. And do you remember years ago, there was a song by Sting. And I don't even remember the song. It might have been Russians. But part of the idea, and here again, it was decades ago. I mean, maybe 20, maybe more than that. This song, and one of the you know, the kind of clinching line was, I hope the Russians love their children too. And just that idea, you know, it kind of lets you know that so much of behavior is motivated by what we think is protecting ourselves, our identity, our family, our country, etc. And there again, I'm not telling you to do something or not do something. This isn't about behavior. It's just about the way you think about it. So that's what I would encourage you to do during this Cancer season, is to, when you find yourself defining a situation or an interaction as me versus them, us versus, you know, those people, just stop and go, wow, I did that again. It's so important to me to draw the line in the sand. Why is that important to me? Why do I need to differentiate and separate? Well, you know, what's the payoff? What am I getting from that? Now, of course, that can be a complicated question, but I think it's something worth asking. And I'm not asking you to change your behavior. You know, you don't have to go, oh, all of a sudden I'm on this side or whatever. But just, you might ask yourself, what's the payoff? What's the reward? What am I getting for separating myself? Thinking of myself, I mean, maybe it's as simple as I see myself as superior. Or maybe it's the opposite. I see myself as a victim. I got to make those the bad guys because then I get to be the victim. And if I'm the victim, then surely everybody will feel sorry for me or come to my aid or whatever it is. So here again, these are ideas that you can play with. But Jupiter in Cancer is certainly a time, and Sun in Cancer too, but it's certainly a vehicle for being a force, for being the greater good in our social groups, our communities, and the world in general. But it's only going to do that if we're aware of our biases, our predispositions, our prejudices, and where we're partial. And there again, maybe you just go, yeah, I'm prejudiced, darn it. That's what I am. You know, I'm not asking for a change in behavior. Awareness will take you miles and miles. So just starting to be a little bit aware. Now, I do have a story. You know, I had a story a few weeks ago, and actually I think I told it on Kelly's show, not on mine. But it's, you know, because I'm an astrologer, because I tend to use this lens, I see things through it. And so this is my Jupiter in Cancer story that happened this week. And it's actually an example of multiple things. I think we could throw Saturn in Aries in here too because of the aggressiveness. What happened is somebody knocked on my door, you know, rang the doorbell. And when I went, there was a man standing there kind of dressed all in black. It looked like a uniform. He had some kind of insignia on his pocket. And he said, I just need a few minutes of your time to test a sample of water from your kitchen for contamination. And then with a sweeping movement of his arm, he said, we're already testing your neighbors and they've tested positive and we're providing fixes for this. So I just need to come in for a few minutes and to see if your home is one of the homes that's been affected by the contamination. So like, that's a lot of information to take in a minute. But what do I hear? My water's potentially contaminated. They've already assessed that my neighbors are in trouble. They've got some issues and they're already fixing it. They're already working for it. But I take a look at this guy. And so my first thing is, I'm not comfortable with your coming into my house. And of course, there's a hose probably 5 or 6 feet from where he's standing. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, why can't they, if he needs a test of water, he can take it right there. He doesn't need to come into my kitchen. He asked, by the way, to come into the house 2 or 3 times. That's where I say the Aries comes in, because it was kind of pushy. Like, you know what? Then he followed up by saying, I just need to come in for a couple of minutes. Do you want my shoes on or off? And I said, do whatever you want to with your shoes. You're not coming in. I mean, that was clear to me. This is not appropriate. I don't know who he is. And then I immediately asked him, I said, are you representing the Nevada Valley Department? Because I could tell the insignia on his shirt was not that. And that's our official water department. And so then he kind of mumbles something and blah, 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 blah. And that's where he starts talking really quickly. I can't understand anything. He says, oh, yeah, you can get on the website. I said, well, first of all, you're not coming into the house, but I will call the water department and I will call my HOA to see, is there a problem? Do we have contamination of our water? And so then he keeps mumbling and saying, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I'll tell you what, why don't you just leave me a card? Because the name of the company that he was kind of mumbling, I just didn't recognize it. So I said, can you give me a card? Can you give me a brochure? I said, I promise you, I'll go call the water department right now. I'll call my HOA. I'll find out what's going on. Well, that obviously was not making him very happy. So then I just said point blank, are you selling something? And he looked at me, he goes, well, not directly. And I said, well, you know, if you give me a card, if you give me some information, but no, I'm just going to go check this out. And so then his final try, though, was he said, aren't you concerned about the safety and security of your water? Now, I didn't smile at the time. I did say to him, though, I said, I'm a lot more concerned about the safety and security of the world right now. My water is the least of my problems. I did say that to him. But in any case, he finally left. I looked at my Ring doorbell, thankfully, because then I had a really good picture of what the insignia was on his shirt. I looked it up. The company does have a website, but of course, it's not clear how long they've been in business. And they have this really nebulous name that is like Nevada Efficiency. And of course, I'm just like, okay. So I did call, you know, the safety office of my HOA. And I said, I just want to make sure. I don't know if this guy is for real or what. But I'm telling you this story for a couple of reasons. Because, and afterwards, I'm just smiling to myself. Because I'm thinking, we are so talking about Jupiter in Cancer, or at least Cancer energy. Water. He wants to know if I'm concerned about the safety and security of my water. You know, that is so Cancer. So those are the kind of stories to me, you know, and by the way, just safety and security. I didn't know. Maybe he was just trying to get into my house. Maybe he was just, you know, checking out the neighborhood and choosing homes to later come and burglarize. I mean, I didn't know what he was doing. But it seemed like a very Cancer thing because here, I mean, and I thought the timing and in a sense, and maybe he'd been in the neighborhood for months. I don't know. But the idea is that all of a sudden, you know, we're in this Cancer season and he's at the door telling me your home is in danger. You know, he's holding the flag of your water, your home could be in danger. It could be contaminated. And of course, what I really think that company is doing is selling water treatment. You know, they're the reverse osmosis. That's what they're doing. But it's, you know, think about those texts. Think about how at any time, probably that would kind of spark your heart if somebody tells you your water's contaminated, but maybe never more so than when we're in the season of Cancer. But there again, I can literally laugh. I mean, I can laugh and smile about this, recognizing how in many, many ways, the planets don't cause these things, but they certainly reflect our consciousness. And like I said, other people might say, oh, well, he might have been out there for months doing that. Yes, he might have. But he only came to my door a couple of days ago. So when we're thinking about this Cancer the Crab, have those boundaries while staying sensitive and impressionable and psychic. And the code words, look for the benefit in the areas of home and family. You want to get Jupiter luck? Then look for benefit in the area of home and family. And here again, we'll talk a whole lot more about how to find your luck with Jupiter. We'll do that in the weeks coming up. So let's move on. I realize I do want to do at least a short primer on those cardinal signs. And you say, okay, now why are we talking about the cardinal signs? And I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff at you. And if it's too fast or too quick, you can always go back and listen to this in the archives of 1-2 Radio. But it's mostly because as I'm, you know, working with clients and writing my article for the Power Peak, I keep finding myself going, oh, well, this is going to be a challenge. That's going to be a challenge. And I thought people are probably wondering, hey, wait a minute. I thought we were going into all this great fire and air energy. And what is she talking about? But this is something to just keep in mind. So I want you to imagine this. Some of you probably already know this. Maybe you study astrology. But all of the signs, the 12 signs, are divided into different elements, right? Fire, earth, air, water. They're also defined by what we call their modality, how they operate. So four of the signs are cardinal. One is fire, that's air, Aries. There's one water, Cancer, one air, Libra, and one earth, Capricorn. Now, all those are different elements, but they all share the fact that they're cardinal. So what do? Those are movers and shakers. They're initiators. They love action. They each open one season of the year. Aries is spring. Cancer is summer. Libra is fall. And Capricorn is winter. And when you combine the element with the modality, so you've got this Aries fire, impulsive, spontaneous, daring. Let's get ready already. Let's go. And Cancer water, how does Cancer water deal with cardinal energy? It takes the lead in the emotional realm by being sensitive and psychic and fertile and being the mother and taking care of home. Libra does it through air. Air is communication. So Libra takes that initiative by being the diplomat, being the facilitator, you know, initiating partnerships, putting people and things together in beautiful ways. Capricorn Earth moves as a cardinal sign by taking the lead and manipulating the physical side of life, planning, strategizing, organizing, working, making commitments. So if you picture these, and this is what I want you to do, picture these four signs around the astrology chart. Aries is in the first house, Cancer is in the fourth, Libra is in the seventh, and Capricorn is way at the top in the 10th. Now, you know what that looks like? It looks like a perfect square. So if you drew lines between those four signs, you would get that perfect square, which would include two signs being in opposition. Aries is in opposition to Libra, and Cancer is in opposition to Capricorn. So there again, that creates a certain kind of energy between those signs. Every sign has an opposite. But within that square, you're also going to have each of those signs is going to square two signs. So it's going to oppose one sign, and then it's going to square the other two. So as each of those squares happens, there again, we generate energy. Oppositions and squares generally in astrology are considered challenging connections. But quite truthfully, the opposition is much easier because the opposition is, okay, I'm negotiating with you. What are we going to do? We have something in common. Our elements get along, earth and water, fire and air. So how are we going to resolve this issue? So those oppositions obviously can create a little bit of tension, but it's something that we can usually negotiate. But when you get a square, there's got to be a change. There's got to be an adjustment. And the best, I always like to see it as cars at a four-way stop. Something's got to give. Everybody can't go at the same time. There again, the two signs that are in opposition, they can slide by each other. But those people that are 90 degrees, those squares, one of those cars has to give way. One of those drivers has to give way to somebody else. So what we've got going on, Saturn and Neptune are in Aries, a cardinal sign. Saturn's there until April of 2028. Neptune is going to be there till 2039. And now we introduce another cardinal sign. Jupiter in Cancer is going to be there through 2026. So what we have happening now, and here again, think about it. So if you're that Libra, if you're a Capricorn or Aries or Cancer, every time the moon goes through there, you get one of those oppositions or squares. But now it feels like there's a lot more energy being generated by the fact that Saturn and Neptune are there. And I point that out because, once again, Libra, you can't just sit back and go, oh, that's not me. You know, I'm not part of this party. You are part of this party with Saturn and Neptune sitting in opposition to your side. And Capricorn, you're part of this party too, because you're squaring that Aries energy. So once again, this is not just a time for, you know, I would say it's a time of challenge on some level. When those planets get to it, you know, a few degrees away from your, maybe your sun is at 14. Maybe it is going to take a while for them to get there. But eventually you're going to feel that tension. You're going to feel what's going on there. And what I would say is it's not like you just want to embrace challenge in your life. But, you know, the greatest changes we make in our lives are when there are squares, when there are oppositions. In fact, one thing I learned in the first few years, really, of studying astrology, I kind of assumed, like most people, that trines, those real easy sextiles and trines, all those people are so lucky because all this energy just flows. Well, you know what? The people usually that are really doing something in life have squares and oppositions. And once again, I'm not saying go run to your chart and if you see trines and sextiles, you should be upset. But it is almost like I've looked at a few charts and I thought, you know what? These people have so many sextiles and trines, I think they're just taking it easy in this lifetime. Maybe they came off of a really difficult lifetime and their soul said, oh, let's just take it easy. Let's get some flow here. So we can embrace those kind of challenges, especially if it's your sun sign, because it has to do with your ego. And just know, when we've got this cardinal energy, especially in the next year, between Aries and Cancer, it's just going to go click, 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 and it is going to affect you if you have also cardinal signs. Now, the truth is that happens in the other modalities as well, the fixed signs and the mutable. But the mutable actually get along better than, you know, the cardinals do. I mean, they're naturally more flexible. Now, the ones that don't are the fixed. Those are the ones that are really good. Nope, I'm not moving. I'm stuck here and I'm not moving. But just know that in general, not only do we have a lot of fire and air, but we've got a lot of cardinal energy too. So people do want to they want to be initiating something. They want to be taking action. And nobody's going to be able to just sit back and say, this one doesn't affect me. Now, maybe not as much as something else, but don't mistakenly think, oh, she's not talking about my sign. So nothing going on here, nothing to see, move on. Now, what made me think about this too is this week with Mars moving into Virgo, because that brings up another kind of aspect between signs that is called an inconjunct. And Mars in Virgo automatically is in conjunct Aquarius. That's important because that's where Pluto is. Pluto, you know, the planet of evolution. And Aries, which is Saturn and Neptune. So, you know, I was kind of looking, Mars moves into Virgo and I'm excited because this is a really wonderful energy to, you know, to really tackle something that's important to us, to be both analytical and grounded at the same time. But I'm looking at this week and I'm going, oh my God, Mars is going to be in conjunct. It's in conjunct, you know, all week long, Saturn, Neptune, and then Pluto. And I'm just, and as I said, this is, an inconjunct is considered a minor aspect by many astrologers. One of the reasons I don't consider it so minor is because I have multiples in my chart. And so, you know what, those so affect or influence things that go on, and quite frankly, are the answers to questions that I've been asking my whole life until I started studying astrology. And all of a sudden, things started to make sense about why certain sides of my personality or whatever, why did they not work well together? Or what is going on here? Why don't I feel that like other people? And those inconjuncts really explain it. So I don't like to just ignore inconjuncts, you know, and that's why if you read my Power Peak, I often describe them as cranky or scratchy. You know, they don't share an element or a modality. I mean, that's kind of what's happening is the two signs involved go, same element, we're not the same modality, we're not the same family, so go ahead, go do your thing. But it's like you still are yoked together, at least temporarily, whether it's in a natal chart or it's a transiting chart, which is what we're talking about, Mars, you know, there's something to be worked out. And so, with Mars in Virgo, he, you know, and those other planets have just moved. That's why Mars in 1 week makes an inconjunct with Saturn, makes an inconjunct with Pluto, and an inconjunct with Neptune. So it's like bing, bing, bing. So there again, I feel like in some ways Mars is off to a little bit of a rough start. But on the other hand, it's just energy that needs to be worked out. And it may be to agree to disagree. You know, some people, they literally will say, nope, you got to come to a solution. Well, with an inconjunct, you really do have to agree to disagree. You're not going to work it out and make it just feel, oh, so comfortable. It's just not going to work that way. So here again, I'm going to kind of wrap this up by saying that here again, if you have, you know, heads up, for people with an emphasis in Virgo. So there again, Virgos, if you're a sun sign Virgo or you've got lots of Virgo energy, Mars is going to come in there and it's going to be great for you in terms of really motivating something. But it also means, depending on there again, you know, what's the number on your sun or your moon or whatever we're talking about, your rising sign, you're going to have in conjunct eventually with those two planets, Saturn and Neptune and Aries. And you're going to have that in conjunct with Pluto in Aquarius. And those are going to be energies that could be life-changing in a very, very positive way. But recognize that if there's an underlying tension, maybe it is because agree to disagree. You know, I'm not going to find the perfect answer. Or rather, maybe the perfect answer is not trying to make something that's square fit into a round hole. or vice versa, however you want to say it. So recognize, I just want to, in a sense, shout out some love to Virgo on that level, because I think there are going to be some of those things going on. And also Scorpio, you are in conjunct Aries and Gemini. And guess what? Uranus is moving into Gemini in July. So there it is. Scorpio, not that I think you ever sit back, but don't be sitting back, because there's going to be some energy that is going to challenge you with those outer planets sitting in the two signs that are your in conjunct. And there again, we can talk more about that. If that's something you want me to look at in your individual astrology chart, you can get me on 12listen.com. You can schedule an appointment that's good with you. Just go check it out, and I can do your chart and we can look at it. We can even time it. You know, I can look at your sun or your moon and figure out when is this likely to happen. But there again, it's not something to dread. It's just something to understand. I mean, trust me, with multiples in my chart, I go through it all the time. I go through it by transit as well. And you know what? I'm still here. I'm still kicking. And I love to learn things. I love to check things out and just check out what the possibilities are. So these are not things to be afraid of, but I just want you to know, why do you sometimes feel like, oh my God, you know, more challenges and more challenges? Well, for one thing, I think Earth is the planet of challenges. We didn't come here to coast. Anybody who came here to coast probably chose the wrong planet. But in any case, that's another story. Before we run out of time, let's check in on Mars in Virgo and give a little love to him. And one of the reasons I think this is important is because Mars usually spends 6 weeks in each zodiac sign. But if you remember, Mars was in Leo, the sign before Virgo, way back last December. So you're going, okay, well, if it only spends 6 weeks in each sign, how is it that it's taken all this time, more than 6 months, to get from Leo into Virgo? Well, of course, many of you know the answer. Retrograde, in the beginning of the year, Mars retrograded back into Cancer. It actually went retrograde in December, then it went back into Cancer, and then it didn't return to Leo until mid-April. So see, that retrograde really extended Mars's reign or Mars transit through both Cancer and Leo. So this has been a long time coming to have Mars in Virgo, and it will transit through Virgo until August 6th. So I think it's about 7 weeks, but this to me, it's like taking a breath. I mean, I enjoyed it very much in Leo, but I think this is like taking a breath finally. Oh my God, finally, it's out of those two signs and it's moving on and it's doing something and it feels good. So Virgo is an earthy, mutable sign. Mutable means changeable, flexible. Those are the ones, you know, Gemini, Pisces, they're willing to flex a little bit, Sagittarius. And I do think this is an appropriate follow-up to all the bright lights and the pizzazz of Mars. Because remember, every sign tends to correct for the excesses of the sign before it. So we have this hot, playful, you know, Leo. And now it's like, okay, let's get back to work. Let's get back to business. But as you might suspect, it takes more than one day or two to make that kind of adjustment, because we're going for this playful, I want to be entertaining, I want to be a performer, to the Virgo who says, I'm smart, I'm analytical, I'm private, I'm service-oriented, I like to advocate for the underdog. That's me. That's Virgo. So in Virgo, Mars motivates us to embrace both our mortality and our divine roots. Because even more than the other signs, the mutable signs are always dual. They're always double. So in Virgo, we're looking at our mortality, but we're also looking at our divinity and how those two things work together. You know, our spiritual bodies as well as our physical ones. And it's important that we protect our private time and space, because in order for Virgo to be that service-oriented person, for her to be out in the world and doing things, that selfless service to other people, she's got to have the time, the personal space to get her act together, whether that's taking a shower or doing a meditation or simply just sitting down with a cup of tea and listening to yourself think. You've got to have that private time. So there again, you may not be a Virgo. You may not have a single thing in your chart that has Virgo energy, But Mars in Virgo is going to activate the part of your chart where Virgo is, because you do have Virgo in your chart. And notable examples, this may help you kind of, you know, hang your hat on it or think about it. These are people that were born with Mars in Virgo. Princess Diana. Now think about her life, you know, and how she extended herself in terms of causes. Mother Teresa, Jackie Kennedy Onassis. And this one I love too, Clara Barton. She was a Civil War nurse who founded the American Red Cross. Also, love, Friedrich Nietzsche. I think he's stunningly brilliant. He was a philosopher and a writer. Just so many, I mean, you know how I do the quotes. Man, I could quote him all day. And also the famous chef and author, Julia Child. And there again, you know, I see the Virgo so much in her because she did something over and over and over and over. I read in her book, she said that she had spent so many hours and days creating the perfect recipe for mayonnaise. I mean, she was literally throwing it away because she and her husband and their friends and family and whatever couldn't eat it all. So she's just making batch after batch after batch and then saying, I just had to throw it away. But she was obsessed with getting it right, getting it the right way. And so when you think about her life, it is so Virgo. Even though she's on TV and she's an author and she's out there in public, this is kind of, to me, that perfect balance of, you know, having that private time and obsessing and working and doing something to perfection, to become the master craftsman, literally, and then putting it out there for the world, writing her cookbooks, doing her TV show. Amelia Earhart was also Mars in Virgo, and also the painter Paul Cézanne, who had an incredible influence on art and, you know, all those Renaissance people, right? Anyway, those are just some examples. So with Mars in Virgo, we are inspired to work and to be productive. And ruled by Mercury, Virgo is analytical, discerning, capable of collating large amounts of data. It's organized, efficient, and pays attention to details, which, by the way, is one of the reasons, you know, Virgo has that reputation for being so critical and fault-finding, but it's because they're meticulous and they're a perfectionist. Even if we can't see the pattern they're following. So don't confuse that. You walk into somebody's house and you go, oh, this can't be a Virgo. They're so disorderly. It's only disorderly in your mind, probably not theirs. So this is going to be a wonderful time and a good time to just get all kinds of things, you know, completed in our lives. So Mars in Virgo, you're going to love it. You know, it's going to be a good thing, especially if you're trying to perfect something in your life. All right. So looking forward to next week. We do have Mercury is going to make a change next week. That's going to be interesting. And we also have more in conjunct. So we'll talk about those. All right, so I got to wrap it up. Thank you so much for being here today and joining me. Thanks. I'm sorry I haven't been following your comments on Facebook, but I'll go over there and take a look and answer what I can. So thank you. I mean, you guys give me the opportunity to just express and to have such a good time with something that I love, which is the astrology and the tarot and all of that. So thank you so much. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to our producer, Serena. I hope you'll stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. She's coming up next. Remember, you can always find me on 12listen.com. Feel free to request a scheduled call on a day and time that's good for you. And before we go, here is our quote for the week. The higher we soar, the smaller we appear to those who cannot fly. That's Nietzsche. Mars in Virgo, which is conjunct Mercury, meaning Mercury sitting right there in Virgo too, and opposite Jupiter and Uranus. So he probably ruffled a few feathers. But the higher we soar, the smaller we appear to those who cannot fly. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world.